Please turn again in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. And with God's word open before us, let us bow in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help again this evening. The Lord has been merciful to us today. And we thank the Lord for his help in the proclamation of his word. But we need that help again this evening. So let us pray that the Lord will come and speak to all of our hearts. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the word of God that we have read tonight. And we pray now, Lord, as we turn to the sacred page, that you would fill us with thy gracious Holy Spirit once again. We thank thee for your blessings today already. But Lord, they will not suffice for now. We need a fresh touch. And we pray, Lord, that you would be pleased to speak again through thy precious truth. Pray, Lord, you'll bless both saint and sinner alike, that you'll have a message for each and every one of us here this evening, that we'll go away from God's house saying it was good to have been here, for it was here where we met with the Lord. We pray for the dear unsaved in the meeting tonight, that you would have mercy on them, those who are cold and backslidden, thou dost know the heart. O God, I pray that you would draw us all closer to thyself this evening. We pray, Lord, that each one here will be in that right relationship with thee. And, O God, we pray that even tonight, that there might be new names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. So bless us now. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. In our studies this morning in this epistle of Philippians, we considered Epaphroditus. And we noticed a number of things about him. Very simply, we considered that he was a saved man, that he was a sick man, that he was a sent man, and that he was a surrendered man. And of course, under these points, we emphasized that while Epaphroditus was a faithful servant of God, he was not immune to sickness. But we also found out that God raised him from his bed of sickness. And the reason why the Lord did this was because Epaphroditus had still much work to do for the Lord. The words that I want to draw your attention to this evening are the words that Paul spoke about Epaphroditus when he was sick and nigh unto death. And of course, they're the words in chapter 2 and verse 27. Underline them in your Bible. But God had mercy on him. What a tremendous text of Scripture. But God had mercy on him. As we consider these words tonight, very simply I want to speak at the end of this gospel service upon the subject, the mercy of God. Men and women, as you sit in God's house this evening, do you know anything in your life of the mercy of God? Do you know anything about the mercy of God, especially in salvation and in redemption? Well, I pray tonight, if you do not know anything about the mercy of God in salvation in Christ, that even tonight, that the Lord will speak to your heart and draw you to himself. Because thank God this evening, as we're going to find out, there is mercy with the Lord. The Lord tonight will save you if you call upon him. He will redeem you. And praise God, you can leave God's house this evening knowing that you're on your way to heaven, knowing that you'll never be lost in a Christless eternity. What do we learn here but about the mercy of God? Well, first of all, I want you to notice the real source of mercy. Notice what the text says. It says, but God. Underline those words. But God had mercy on him. You see, God is the source of mercy. God alone is the real source of mercy. He is the author and he is the only giver of mercy. There's a number of verses. Let me read out very quickly that will prove this. Deuteronomy 4 verse 31 says, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God. Psalm 103 verse 8 says, for the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Psalm 116 verse 5 says, gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. And Ephesians 2 verse 4, that wonderful text of Scripture. But God who is rich in mercy. The God of heaven, the God of the Bible, The God who created this world, praise God, is rich in his mercy. The word mercy literally means kindness. It means compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone who deserves punishment when it is in your power so to do. And of course, the truth is, those of us who are saved tonight, we deserved nothing but judgment. Indeed, each and every one of us here tonight deserved nothing but judgment. But those of us who are saved, God hath shown his mercy towards us in that he has forgiven us and cleansed us from our sin. Therefore, while God is a God of justice and will punish sin, he is also a God of mercy and a God of love and a God of grace. And he will forgive and have compassion upon the sinner when there is true repentance and faith on the part of the sinner. And we're going to find that out tonight before we end this message. But it's important to see here from the text the source of all mercy. God is the source of mercy. And my friend, if you're in the meeting tonight and you're not a Christian, you're not born again of the Spirit of God, you need the mercy of God. You need God to set his mercy and his love and his grace upon you. Because if he does not, then you're heading towards a Christless eternity. You'll be lost forever and forever. The Bible tells us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And praise God, the greatest place to see the mercy of God is Calvary. And we're going to say more about that in a moment. But Calvary's cross, there we can see a demonstration of God's mercy towards sinners when he sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world to die upon the cross in order to redeem us from our sins. But notice secondly here, not only the real source of mercy, but notice the recipients of mercy. Look what the text says in verse 27. It says, but God had mercy on him. I want you to underline the last two words. On him. God had mercy on him. Now, this text, of course, as we know, is speaking about Epaphroditus. And Epaphroditus was the man who had received the mercy of God. He was one of the recipients of God's mercy. Epaphroditus was a recipient of God's mercy in salvation. We found that out this morning, that the Lord had saved this man, gloriously redeemed him for time and for eternity. We also found out that Epaphroditus was a recipient of God's mercy throughout his whole Christian life, from the day he was saved to the day he died. Epaphroditus was a recipient of God's mercy in times of need. Indeed, in the passage before us, this man, Epaphroditus, had been raised from a bed of sickness. And this act of kindness had been the mercy of God to him. And that's exactly, of course, what the Apostle Paul is referring to here in the context of our text this evening. But Epaphroditus was not only one who, he was not the only one who had received the mercy of God. He was not the only one who was a recipient of God's mercy. The Apostle Paul also had received God's mercy. Look exactly what verse 27 says. But God had mercy on him. Now underline these words. And not on him only, but on me also. The Apostle Paul was also a recipient of God's mercy and kindness. And of course, Paul could look back to that day in his life when the Lord saved him on the Damascus Road. The Lord showed him mercy that day. But from that day to the day that he was referring to here and on, the Lord had been merciful to the apostle. My friend, I wonder as we sit in God's house tonight, can I ask you a personal question? Are you a recipient of God's mercy in salvation? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior? The truth is, we all are recipients of God's mercy in some way. Whether we're saved or not, even those of you here tonight who are not saved, you're receiving God's mercy even this very night because you're sitting in God's house listening to God's Word. That's a mercy. Because we look outside this church building and in Enniskillen tonight and further afield, Men and women are indulging in the sins of this world. They have no thought of God. They're not sitting under the sound of the gospel. And they're lost. And yet you're here tonight under the sound of the message of the gospel. My friend, that is a mercy. That is a mercy. But let me again bring it a step further. Have you ever accepted Christ as your Savior? Do you know anything of being a recipient of God's eternal redemption in Jesus Christ? Of course, you and I tonight can be recipients of God's mercy because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished upon the cross. Turn back again to Philippians chapter 2 and take a look there with me at verses 6, 7 and 8. There are wonderful verses in this chapter. Look what it says about the Lord Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Because of the death of Christ on the middle tree on Calvary's Hill, you and I can become recipients of God's wonderful and eternal salvation. Thank God we can be saved tonight because of what the Lord Jesus accomplished upon the cross. It's not tremendous. Here's the reason why you and I can be recipients. How you and I can be saved tonight because of the blood that was shed upon the cross. And of course, not only did Jesus die, but he rose again. Look at verse 9 of Philippians 2. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Christ is not dead. He's not on a cross. He's not in a tomb. But he has risen again. And the Bible tells us here that he's highly exalted. Indeed, the Bible reveals unto us that the Lord Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living. And someday he's coming back again to this earth. And because he died and because he rose again, that means that we can be recipients of God's mercy. There's no need for you to go to hell. There's no need for you to be lost forever and forever. There's no need for you to go out of this meeting feeling rejected, because there's one who loves you and there's one who wants to be merciful unto you. And praise God, that one is the Lord Jesus Christ, because he died and rose again in order to provide eternal salvation and eternal redemption for you. And because of his death upon the cross, and because of what he has accomplished upon the middle tree on Golgotha's brow, we can be recipients of his mercy. Now, there's something else I want you to notice here. I want you to notice the receiving of mercy. The receiving of mercy. Not only the real source of mercy, and not only the recipients of mercy. God shows his mercy to sinners. But I want you to notice the receiving of this mercy. How do we receive the mercy of God? How do we become the recipients of God's mercy? Well, by simply crying unto God for mercy. Now, of course, it's a cry of faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's a cry of repentance. We must repent our sin. We must turn away from our sin. It is a cry of recognizing our great need for such mercy. I wonder this evening, as you are gathered here in God's house, do you realize that you need the mercy of God? You know, that's the first step in being saved. It's the first step in being born again of the Spirit of God. And before you can be a recipient of God's mercy, before you can receive God's mercy, you've got to acknowledge that you need God's mercy. And of course, you do, and we all do. We're guilty sinners before God, and we deserve the judgment and wrath and condemnation of God because of our sin. However, the Lord will show us mercy on the basis of Christ's finished work on the cross when we cry unto him for his mercy. You remember the parable in the Bible in Luke chapter 18 about the publican who went up to the temple to pray. Of course, there were two men who went up to the temple to pray, the publican and the Pharisee. But I'm just interested in the publican. And you'll remember what the publican prayed in verse 13. Let me read you the words. "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying," or crying, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." That's how you receive the mercy of God. You recognize that you're the sinner. You fall down before the Lord and cry unto him for mercy, for saving grace, to forgive you for your sin and to redeem you by his precious blood. And verse 14 goes on to say, "I tell you, this man," speaking of the publican, "went down to his house justified," or went down to his house with his sins forgiven, because that's what the word justification means, "rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Oh, my friend, do you want to receive the mercy of God tonight? Then come as a sinner to Jesus. Come and confess to him your sin. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. And thank God this evening you can receive the mercy of God, but you must cry unto him for mercy. Turn over just for a moment to Luke chapter 18, because there's another story in Luke chapter 18 that I want you to notice. It's the story of blind Bartimaeus. And it's interesting to note how blind Bartimaeus received the mercy of God. He received it the same way as the publican. He received it the same way as Epaphroditus, as Paul, as any sinner, by calling and crying unto the Lord for mercy, recognizing that he is the sinner. Look at verse 38 of Luke 18. "And he cried, saying," this is Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." "And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thy son of David, have mercy on me." Here we see Bartimaeus crying unto the Lord for mercy and salvation. And Christ showed him mercy. And not only did the Lord restore his eyesight, but the Lord saved his precious soul. Look at verse 40. "And on, and Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, give praise unto God." You see, the truth of the matter is this: when the sinner cries unto God in true repentance and faith and in remorse, God will have mercy upon them. My friend, if you're in the meeting tonight and you're not saved, praise God, you can be saved. You're in the meeting tonight and you know nothing of God's grace and God's love and God's mercy in your life, in Christ, in salvation. You can be saved tonight. But you've got to come and you've got to fall down before him as a sinner. And you've got to cry unto him for mercy. And you need mercy. Because of your sin, you need mercy. Because of your present spiritual standing, you need mercy. Because in your present spiritual standing, you're a lost sinner on your way to a Christless eternity. There's a wonderful text of scripture in Joel 2, verses 12 and 13. Let me read you the words. It says, "Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness." You can see there, again, the text is drawing our attention to the mercy of God and the goodness of God. But in the text you will also see how the sinner receives mercy by crying unto God in repentance. All those phrases in the text is referring to repentance. And of course, there can be no mercy
without repentance. There can be no forgiveness without repentance. There can be no salvation without repentance.
My friend, have you ever received God's mercy and salvation? Do you know anything of God's mercy in Christ? Oh, I pray this evening, if you do not, that even this night, that you will come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Epaphroditus, you see, he was a man who had received the mercy of God in many ways. But he certainly had received the mercy of God in salvation. And my friend, you need to receive the mercy of God tonight. If you're ever going to get into heaven, if you're ever going to have your sins forgiven, you need the mercy of God. Now there's something else I want to say about the mercy of God this evening. I want to say, firstly, the ready supply of mercy. The ready supply of mercy. After sinners receive the mercy of God in salvation, that mercy is everlasting. That mercy is eternal. In Psalm 100 and verse 5, we read these words, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." And in Psalm 103 verse 17, we read these words, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him." Those are tremendous texts of scripture. But they emphasize to us that once God demonstrates his mercy towards the sinner in salvation, that sinner receives the mercy of God for all eternity. Isn't that a wonderful thought? You can be saved tonight for all eternity. You can be saved tonight forever. That's God's wonderful promise. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God's mercy and salvation through Christ, you see, is eternal. Child of God, you and I have a ready supply of mercy. An endless supply of God's mercy for us around the throne of grace each day. Isn't that wonderful? There's a word here, not only for the sinner, but for the saint as well. In the context, of course, we have been looking at Epaphroditus. We noticed this morning that he was sick nigh unto death. What grace and what mercy he needed at that point. And you know, you and I in our Christian lives, child of God, we need God's mercy and God's grace every day of our lives for all different situations. And we need it when we come to the end of our journey here upon this scene of time. But thank God when that takes place, even when we face death itself, the Lord has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And he has promised to give us mercy, grace, time of need. Hebrews 4. Verses 14 to 16, underline them in your Bible. What a tremendous text of scripture it is. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy." See? "That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Every time, child of God, we come before his throne of grace, in prayer, we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Did you know that in the Old Testament, the people were not allowed to approach the high priest? They had to wait until he approached them. But praise God, you and I today can approach our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, at any time of the day. And when we do, he will grant unto us his mercy and grace and help for every need. Here we see the great blessing of prayer. Child of God, do you want help in time of sickness? Do you want help in time of sorrow? Do you want help in time of depression? Do you want help when you're cast down? Then come to the Lord in prayer. Come before this throne of grace. There's a ready supply. And dear sinner, if you were to get saved tonight, no matter what you were to face tomorrow or next week or next year, for the rest of your life upon this earth, God would demonstrate His mercy towards you. He would give you His grace day by day to bear whatever. Because this is the wonderful promise of God to His people. And thank God, it's an everlasting promise. We often sing that lovely hymn, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Saviour, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield thee. Thou will find a solace there." And thank God this evening, that's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, our blessed Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. But God was merciful to him. Do you know anything about the mercy of God in Christ tonight? Oh, my friend, if you don't, come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ this evening. Put your faith in Him. Turn from your sin. And praise God, He will show you mercy. Not only for tonight, not only for tomorrow, but throughout the countless ages of eternity. Because after this life is over, the mercy of God continues for all eternity. To be ever with the Lord. What a mercy. What a mercy. My friend, when you die, will you enter in to the eternal mercy of God in heaven? Or will you enter into the cavern of the damned and be lost in hell forever and forever? Tonight, through Christ, God wants to extend to you mercy. Will you come and receive it? "For as many as received Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Come and trust Him tonight, and He'll save you. And child of God, those of us who have trusted Him, there's grace and mercy, no matter what our circumstances may be. Let us all pray.